Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined this week by my co-host, Austin.
As opposed to every other week.
I know, like I say that, like, it doesn't change. It's always you, but it's still exciting. Me.
I've missed a couple episodes.
This is very Maroon 5 of me. It was always you.
Oh, I don't know what song that is.
I'm not a good singer, so I was very tone deaf saying that, but...
That's like yesterday when you and me were trying to, like, sing Whitney Houston songs to Josh.
Oh my god.
We were very out of tune. Surprise, surprise.
We were very out of tune. However, Josh, I don't think he's ever listened to, like, a Whitney Houston song.
He has heard Whitney Houston songs. He lives in the world.
I'm sure he's heard of them, but I'm sure if you put it on and said, like, who sings this, he wouldn't be able to tell you. Josh is a metalhead. He's not a Whitney
Since
Houston
when? Fan. Why? I didn't know that. He has never once mentioned that.
We should have Josh on the pod and he could talk about his musical tastes.
He has never mentioned that. Okay, so I was with you guys yesterday because I wanted to see Alex's state of affairs.
Oh, God, how embarrassing.
Do you like how, like, oh, my place is too messy. You can't come here. However, I can go over there.
I think this was maybe one of the first times you were actively like, nah, don't come over here.
Honestly, I did have to do some cleaning, so I still have to do some cleaning.
Fair enough. But I warned you in advance. I said I was still unpacking. There were still things in disarray.
Yeah, but I wanted to see for myself. I wanted to visualize it.
Did you get a good eyeful of the mess?
I did. I'm very proud of myself for not tripping over anything.
I know. It is kind of hazardous in here. It's kind of a maze. You have to sort of step over stuff.
Especially with my hurt foot.
I know. Austin had a foot emergency. So I was very proud of you. You drove over here and you climbed 3 flights of stairs to get to my apartment.
Multiple times.
That's really great. But your foot's feeling better, so I'm glad for that.
It's not 100%, but it's better.
Every day is a little bit more progress. But we were successful. We did some stuff yesterday. We got my kitchen table put together, so that was very exciting. What else has been going on, Austin?
What'd you think of watching Eraserhead, Alex?
Okay, so it happened finally. I think we may have mentioned this a while back on the pod, that we were going to watch all the David Lynch films.
And I think Alex no longer wants to do that.
That's not true. I still do, because I really love Lost Highway, and I do want to get to that one.
I said, let's start with Lost Highway, because you're familiar with that one. And you were like, no! Let's start with Eraserhead! And I'm like, you want to start with Eraserhead? And you were like, yeah! And I was like, you want to start with Eraserhead? And you were like, yeah!
Yeah!
I tried to warn you. You didn't listen to me.
You did try to warn me. For context, I had zero idea of what Eraserhead even was. I had no idea. No idea at all.
You'd never seen anything from it?
Nope.
Okay.
I was isolated, I suppose, for all these years. I had no clue what I was getting into, but I wanted to go chronologically, and so that was his first movie.
Okay, I'm not watching Dune again. I'm not watching
No, we could skip that one. We can skip Dune. That's
and
fine.
Twin Peaks is a whole endeavor, so I think that's a separate project.
Sure. That's we can consider that to be its own thing. So we started out with Eraserhead, which... How do you even, like, explain that? For anybody who doesn't know, I guess you could consider it, like, sci-fi horror?
It's surreal. Surreal body horror, maybe?
Oh, definitely. I don't know what I was thinking. Honestly, when the movie first started, I was like, okay, they live in some kind of, like, it almost seems like post-apocalyptic industrial accident fallout type of area. So I guess that kind of explained the events of the film. Like, there would be issues with people's genetics. I don't know.
Okay. Don't go into a David Lynch movie marathon being like, okay, we got to decipher the code. Because you know what? That's not going to happen. It's just not.
When I looked up, so every time I watch a film, I always have to debrief after the film and, like, look it up.
Literally every film. But yeah, I'm the same way, so I get it.
Literally. I guess I made the mistake of going online and trying to find out, like, an analysis of Eraserhead, And I know you guys are probably being like, oh my God, you're being so cryptic with this. Like, what the hell? You can't explain it. Like, I legitimately can't explain it. But just know that if you go to try to look it up later, there's no explanation.
Of course not.
Like, even themes and analysis and stuff like that, like, there's a few things that people have kind of said, like, oh, maybe this represents this. And I guess you can, like, generalize and say, like, oh, it's his fear of fatherhood and anxieties around parenthood or whatever.
Yeah, I thought the themes were pretty straightforward, actually.
But, like, some of the more niche things are kind of like, what the fuck?
it's David Lynch. It's dream logic. It's evoking emotion, not necessarily through literal events.
He works.
You just gotta get in that mindset. It's just, you gotta roll with it.
One thing I did read was that he works out of his subconscious, which makes perfect sense because the subconscious mind would not make sense to your conscious mind.
What is that thing he was really big on? The universal subconscious?
That sounds about right. It was an experience, I will say.
We should have started with Mulholland Drive, I'm just saying.
Okay. So skipping Dune and Twin Peaks, what is the next film that we have to watch?
Elephant Man, which I've never seen.
Okay. I have never seen it either, so we will find out together.
We'll see Joe Merrick.
It's an interesting endeavor.
And you can bail out at any time.
No, I'm committed. We can do this.
Speaking of committed, oh, maybe that's not a very good transition given the implications of that word. I was going to say we have committed listeners.
Oh, yeah, listener feedback time. This is, okay, that was a wonky kind of way to get to that, but let's do it.
I don't know. I'm not a Jacob. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
They're committed because they're crazy people.
No, they're crazy for us and this podcast.
And we're crazy for them.
I know. Why don't you start? Do you have any sort of feedback for us?
I have lots of feedback.
Oh, awesome. I will get my feedback while you are getting your feedback.
First, I have a message from Carl, who is a loyal patron.
Hello, Carl.
Carl, you may remember, is a funny guy and tried to send us a letter via email and it never came through. So he just sent it to us directly through Patreon. That does alarm me because I'm like, how many people are sending things through email and we're not getting them? But if we're not responding to you via email, just know it's because we didn't get it.
Oh, dang. I'm sorry, guys. We really try our best to respond in all the platforms that we get alerts on, but maybe we just need to be more diligent.
So here's what Carl has to say. Carl says, hello, I've made it past Johto. What's more exciting, you've made it past freaking Johto. I honestly can't believe you actually made it through the mind-numbing storytelling ghetto that is Johto.
Thank you, Carl.
Sorry, my relationship with the Pokemon anime is still toxic. And I've seen several Pokemon reviewers give up in the middle of Johto because of obvious reasons. Thank you very much for reviewing and pointing out all the missed opportunities and pointless plot kerfuffles that plague almost the entire Pokemon anime.
Can I just stop you and say that I love the word kerfuffle? Thank you for using that word.
That is a good word. Hearing you complain about stuff that's been bugging me since I was a kid is balm for the soul. My main problem with the anime is that it could have been great. The premise is so awesome. If only the writers came to work sober at least half the time, it could have been actually enjoyable.
Wow. Oh, what a scathing, but like accurate critique. I love that.
Oh well, Hoenn is coming. I hope you can power through it. I remember I endured it slightly better than Johto, probably because it was at the very least something different. There are contests now, so the female companion has something to do, which is a step up from what they did with Misty. Parentheses, nothing. Oh, I remember actually liking the episode where Ash and May have a big battle with a tie at the end, so they split the prize or something. That was kind of compelling. Okay, so that's the last episode of Advanced, so we got a ways to go.
Okay.
Sorry, I realize I am being a little bitch. Okay, Carl, you're not being a little bitch. You're just stating truth.
Every analysis and opinion when it comes to the Pokemon anime is valid. I mean, I will say there's some instances with like real life stuff where it's like you can have a wrong opinion, but with Pokemon, you can have any opinion you want.
Just because I like the idea that Pokemon presented when I was 6 years old, and to this day, I haven't been able to get over the disappointment. Imagine how stupid I must have been during that age, waking up every weekend early just to see if anything had improved, even a little bit, for about 200 episodes of practically nothing. And then again, when I discovered the internet and gained access to episodes 212 plus that were not dubbed in our country. My patience actually lasted from Master Quest to about halfway through Sinnoh. Not understanding everything in English probably helped me power through them. Oh my god. And I didn't even like more than about 10 of them. Oh my gosh. Only 10 or so episodes.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Paul was somewhat entertaining.
Okay. I won't stand for Paul slander, though. I have to defend my boy, Paul.
But I still kept on returning to it just because I hoped something would change. I finally got to something with Kalos. I honestly liked that series. Not overtly, but I was finally enjoying it somewhat. Until Ash's Greninja had a healing shuriken on Alon's plot-armored Charizard instead of a regular damaging one. That was like a slap to the face. Sorry for the rant. Thank you again for your amazing work. You're the only thing that might one day make me finally get over it. I guess his negative feelings toward the Pokemon anime. In all fairness, well, we have a lot of negative feelings toward the Pokemon anime.
We play it up, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, we are fans. We watch it. Of course, if we didn't care for it, we wouldn't spend all this time lovingly critiquing it. But it's fun to watch it as an adult person and be like, mm-hmm. What can we say about this as two podcasters talking about Pokemon?
Carl goes on to say that the day he finally gets over feeling betrayed by the Pokemon anime, I'm kind of paraphrasing, he will create a festival in honor of that day.
Wow, I look forward to that day.
It would better be an annual festival in the Johto region.
There couldn't be any other kind.
Jacob is sorely missed, but his absence doesn't take away anything from your brilliance. You two are still funny as ever. And thank you for bringing on guests like Kelsey. They are always a delight. I actually sent this to Kelsey, so...
Aw, well, that's very sweet. I'm sure she appreciated that, too.
If you're still interested in doing a Twitch stream or a YouTube channel, I'm still interested in watching you play a Nuzlocke of any Pokemon game.
Yeah, definitely want to do that.
Oh, scratch that. I've just found out about your Pokemon channel stream. I know next to nothing about that game. It has never seemed interesting to me.
God.
Well, I'll give it a go. Maybe when you two play it, it'll be interesting for me. For those who don't know, we do have a Pokemon channel stream. You can only view it on our Patreon.
We're looking forward to adding more Let's Plays or whatnot to our Twitch stream channel. So stay tuned for that. But if you are interested in watching our playthrough that we did of the Pokemon channel game, check that out because that was unhinged.
If you like technical problems, that's the stream for you. God, that was a... Ooh, we're going to have an entire episode of Out of the Drying Pan about Pokemon Channel later. Just prepare yourself for that.
I'm not sure I'm prepared, but let's do it.
Okay, here's how you know Carl's a negotiator. That Shuckle is exactly between blue and purple. I could never decide, but I like the color. Carl goes on to say, sorry for Austin's poor dog. Yeah, poor Jade, RIP.
Yeah.
She was a foster dog. I had her for, I believe, 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to make her final weeks full of fun and love, Austin.
I certainly hope so. Did you ever meet her?
Yes.
Oh, I don't remember shit.
Did you, like, erase that couple weeks out of your mind?
Yes, I did.
You're worse than I am with memory on some stuff.
Anyway, that's it for Carl's letter.
Well, we appreciate it, Carl. Thank you for reaching out and giving us your feedback. We always love to hear from all of you guys. And we hope that our... I guess discussions of these episodes inspires you to maybe take a fresh look at the Pokemon anime.
Or revel in negativity. That's fine.
That is fine,
too. I'm perfectly good with thinking things are shit.
Yeah, I don't think we really make any... We don't make any bones about it. I mean, we kind of just say what we want to say.
Yep.
Was that all from your side of the house with feedback, no. Austin? Ooh, there's more.
I got a comment from Pokemon Megastar.
Our good friend.
Well, here's what Pokemon Megastar had to say about last week's episode. Good to see you both back. Also, congrats on the Mimikyu plush.
Ah, yes. Oh my gosh.
But also hope you go to a better arcade next time.
For real.
Yes, I was alluding to Ralts. Maybe the twins hate their names, so they both go by their last names. I like that theory, because it implies that they hated the fact that their names were Forrest and Forrester, because that's really stupid. I like to think they both independently decided to go by Franklin and didn't know this.
You don't think they had, like, a discussion about this ahead of time?
Because one's always traveling and one's always staying at home. So I think they both came to that conclusion separately and then didn't realize it until the events of the Wurmple episode.
I see. I mean, I guess they're not of legal age to change their name. Although, maybe things do work differently in the Pokemon world.
What do you mean, of legal age? They were going by their last name. Have you never met someone who goes by their last name?
Okay, yes, of course I have. But what I'm saying is they're stupid first names, Forrest and Forrester.
Oh, yeah. That's dumb. Those are not dumb names in of themselves, but don't give your children the same name. Like, that's ridiculous.
Like, okay, yes, to clarify and to your point, the name by itself, isolated, Forrest, totally fine. Forrester, also totally fine. As twins, with the names Forrest and Forrester together, that's horrible and lazy on the parents' part. So, unless they're, like, aliens who, like, came to Earth and picked their own names, then the parents have 100% of the blame.
We don't know they're not aliens.
I guess we can't verify.
All right, Pokemon Megastar says, Wurmple is quite adorable all episode, and the branch evolution is a pretty cool idea. May was really good this episode. She's really starting to show her character. Referring to the Pichu gang, the Teddy Ursa is probably my least favorite Poke gang member. Azumarill being the best, along with Magby. Take care, Drying Pan team. Yeah, we forgot Azumarill. I think she's pretty good. Because she doesn't really get involved in the shenanigans.
Didn't Azumarill have a moment where she, like, crashed out and, like, got angry on one of these? Yes,
I remember that. I don't remember what the context.
Yeah. My favorite's going to be Wooper. Well, that's great. Appreciate the comments also.
And what comments do you have, Miss Alex?
I actually have some listener feedback of my own from our Instagram. It's been a while, but our good friend Liam.
I was giving Liam shit because I felt bad for insulting Liam's eyes.
Well, he wants to reiterate that point. He was on a hiatus, but he's back. But he still agrees with me. He says, blue, 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 Austin, in all caps. I agree. Heartily agree. Also, his next comment says that his headcanon about the Squirtle in Chronicles has always been that it was either 1, Squirtle before Ash caught him, 2, a rogue member turned away by the gang once they became more altruistic who could never escape his dastardly ways. So, one or the other. Interesting take on that.
I wonder if this could be pre-episode 1.
I guess there's really not like a time frame. Does the Chronicles episode ever mention events of, like, the main...
I'm thinking they don't mention much of anything.
So maybe it's absolutely possible that this is on a different... Either it's the multiverse theory, it's totally different universe, or this is pre-episode 1. Could be. Well, thank you, Liam. Thank you for the comments. We're glad to have you back and listening. That is all for my feedback.
Yay!
This is so exciting. I just really love it when you guys write in and tell us stuff. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, write in more. Tell us, like, literally anything. We want to hear it.
Literally.
Well, not literally anything. You know what I mean.
All right. Well, that is our listener feedback corner for the day. Episodes that we have this week are Gonna Rule the School and, oh my gosh, A Winner by a Nose Pass.
What do you think of these eps?
Eps. Well, I have a lot of notes. I have 2 pages of notes for these two great episodes, so.
Let's just get into it. Let's rock and roll. Flipping the coin. Ooh. You were summarizing for 30 seconds the first one, and I am summarizing for about 20 to 30 minutes the whole thing.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I am ready to go. I'm ready to rock.
3, 2, 1, rock it.
Oh my god, you guys, we're finally at Rustboro City. It's been so long. But before we get to the gym, we have to do one more thing, and that's a little sightseeing. So Ash is embarrassing as always. But before we go, we have to run into this kid and his polywag. Turns out this group is a field trip led by Roxanne, the gym leader, and this bully, Tommy, is giving this other kid a hard time. We get into some battling tips, and Max is learning how to be a trainer.
Time.
And, yeah.
That's the school bell. Time's up.
Oh, I hate the school bell.
So, we are in Rustboro City, in a big old viewing tower place.
Is this, like, the Space Needle or something?
This has to be based on a real Japanese city. Sorry, I don't know Japanese geography, so, sorry.
Either way. I guess there's a lot of places you can go up in a tower and look out over the city, but honestly, it's pretty cool sights.
Well, Ash is excited to see the sights because he has gone over to the, what would you call it, merch table?
That's not right. The merch booth, I guess.
It's the souvenir stand. He went to the souvenir stand.
Yes.
Ash has gone over to the souvenir stand, gotten every single thing they have, thrown it on his body, and walks over to his fellow twerps and is like, hey guys, look at me. And they are all acting as if Ash has just assaulted someone.
I know. Their reaction is so disproportionate. They literally act like he, like, peed himself in the middle of the open air here. Like, I thought he was adorable.
Brock is like, I've never been so embarrassed in my entire life. They're acting like their dad has done something dorky that's not even that embarrassing, but because it's their dad and their kid, they're like, ah!
Really? Brock can't think of a single other thing that he's ever been embarrassed about? Okay, sure. He literally embarrasses himself every day.
Ash is doing that thing where he's being silly and earnest and fun, and all the other kids are like, ugh.
God forbid anybody have any fun.
Ugh. He's being cringe, I guess the kids would say.
I love Ash's, like, he's got the vest on, and he's got all the pins, and he's got, like, face tattoos, like temporary tattoos all over his face. And I love his little earrings that are the tower, like the little tower, like a space. It looks like the Space Needle.
Now, did Ash pay for all this crap, or did he just like go over, take shit off the shelves, put it all on himself, and be like, hey? And then he had to go put it all back.
Okay, maybe I can kind of see the embarrassment if he just did the ladder thing and took all the stuff and putting it on him. And then, of course, they're like, oh my God, you haven't paid for that. It's embarrassing. But honestly, knowing the Pokemon world, they probably just gave all this shit away for him for free.
Maybe.
So, I don't know.
I don't know. Rosboro City needs to make up its profits somehow.
I guess. Is this, like, a really big tourism city? Is it because of Devin? Right. Like, are we...
Okay, we are looking it up. I'm so sorry. We gotta figure this out.
I mean, it is, like, a seaside town, so maybe there's some level of tourism here, but...
So, I am on my favorite article on all of Bulbapedia.
Oh, gosh.
Pokemon world in relation to the real world.
Wait, is that an article?
It's, like, the best article they have. Like, genuinely.
Oh, you're being real. Okay.
Yeah. It's so long that my computer is actually slowing just looking at it.
I never knew they had an article of this kind.
Oh, like, it's literally slowing down my laptop. That's not fun.
Okay.
Well, fuck this. I'm closing out of that. See, I compliment Bulbapedia one time, and look what it does. It.
Okay, let me try to do it on my phone.
Yeah, me too.
What'd you say? Pokemon world.
In relation to the real world.
Okay, I'm going to go on my phone and see how it does.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is like a huge geographical article.
Mm-hmm.
In the core series games. Okay, let's scroll down to Hoenn.
Okay, Rustboro City correlates to the city of Fukuoka. And Bulbapedia says that Fukuoka is the sixth largest city in Japan and is famous for Kyushu University, a former imperial university. It is also the capital city of the prefecture of the same name. Kita Kyushu's main industry is steelmaking. It is also home to Zenrin, a company specializing in navigation software. Okay, so the Pokemon Academy is here because of that famous university, and Devon Corp is here because of Zenrin. Which I've never heard of, but okay.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
So, referencing things that us ignorant Americans don't understand, but what we do understand is children getting lost on a field trip. Because Max finds a little Poliwag and has a little armband around its tail with a very generic Pokeball insignia on it. And Max is like, oh, look, this Poliwag must belong to someone. Cue Roxanne. She is a sex worker working on the streets of Amsterdam, and she is here with her children, her class of children.
And Sting is here singing about her.
Just kidding. She's just a school teacher and a gym leader, but we don't know that yet.
Just to real quick ask, did it seem to you that the way they portrayed Roxanne in this episode, or just in the anime in general, that she seems way older?
She seems like she's like 30-something. I thought she was, like, 18, yeah.
In the games, I always thought she was more of, like, an upperclassman-aged person who was more of a contemporary, like, school-age people. But in this one, she's noticeably older. At least her voice makes it seem like that. Plus, she's taller even than Brock. and he does not really go goo goo gaga over her. So that makes me feel like she's older.
See, at first I thought he didn't go goo goo gaga over her because she was younger than him.
No, I don't know.
But she very clearly is being portrayed as an adult person.
I don't know. Maybe it's because she's an academic and he just has the respect for her. Like, gym leader recognized gym leader. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just an interesting thing I thought that they portrayed her different than how I would have thought she would be considering her age in the game.
She's pretty boring, actually, I would say.
Oh, Josh said that she had really weird and bad hair.
That's how you know she's a canon character, not a generic character, because she has a notable design.
Like, her hair on the top is, like, flat and almost shaved-like, and then she's got those two weird, like, bumps, hair bumps on the side.
Right, let's critique this. Let's tear this her down.
I know, we gotta just read her rights as far as her fashion goes.
And yeah, she's got those weird bumps. I don't know what that thing in her hair is supposed to be.
What, the barrette slash, like, ribbon pink thing? I don't know.
Yeah, there's like a, she has like a massive like thing in her hair.
How does she look relative to like her old art versus her new art?
It's pretty similar. She just has a more poofy skirt.
It kind of looks like in the new, her new art, like she's got more pronounced like bun type hair things.
She's a lot more like stylized. Like all of her features are more exaggerated.
I think she looks way cuter.
I don't know. I find her pretty boring, to be honest.
Yeah, there's, I mean, she's okay, but she's not like the most thrilling character.
Oh, I'm getting into porn territory. Great.
Okay, gotta stop. Pull the plug.
Here she is as a bunny girl.
What?
Oh, she's playing with her skirt. Okay, that's enough of that.
Some people on the internet are just some thirsty MFers. Okay, anyway.
The most interesting thing about Roxanne is her name.
Roxanne.
She has this whole class of students. It's basically the same class of students we've seen in all these little kid episodes we've had before. There's the shy little boy, Kenny, who's afraid of Pokemon. And there's the mean kid, Tommy, who's one of those, like, academic bullies who, like, is like, I'm the best student and you're not, so you're a fucking idiot. There's the girl who doesn't really have much of a personality other than she stands up for the shy boy and defends him.
Accurate.
And what was her name?
Anita.
Anita. Okay, she had a better name than the other two. The other two were pretty generic.
Tommy and Kenny. Tom Kenny. Ha 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 ha. Okay.
Oh, ha.
I don't think that was intentional, but yeah.
Was it? Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway.
Max sees all these little kids, and it's the first time in his life he's seen other children his age. So he's like, I want to join the beginner's class, like Miss Roxanne's beginner's class. So Roxanne's like, great, come with me to the school. And Ash says, but I want to do a gym battle. And Roxanne very mischievously says, the gym is right next door to the school, so come on down. So Ash begrudgingly does so. We see all these different classes that apparently adults attend. Like, this really is a university. There's Pokemon Doctor class, which Brock takes a little bit of an interest in. I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There's Pokemon Coordinator class, which Mei is unabashedly obsessed with.
Yes.
Pokemon Battling class, which, been there, done that. And finally, we get to Max's Beginner's class, which is for little kids. And wouldn't you know it, Professor Oak is the guest lecturer.
Oh my god, I love this. I'm sorry.
Okay, why do you love this? Go for it.
Because apparently he, like, hosts these Zoom lectures that he, I guess, is, like, guest lecturer of this Pokemon Academy. And I just love the fact that he sort of, in addition to all his other ventures, he has this, like, side gig where he teaches remotely to other countries' universities. I don't know. It's fun.
I wonder how many of these he does.
I don't know, but it just...
It's got to be a bunch. We know Professor Oak, he has an interest in teaching the young one, the children. He very much is of that mindset.
He's such a grandpa. I love him.
Like, he's taking a special interest in Ash. He gives out the Pokemon to the kids of Pallet Town. Whenever we see him, there's a bunch of adoring small children. He's very much like a preschool-aged figure, like a Bill Nye or something like that.
Oh, that's such a good analogy. Yeah, that's totally true. I just think it's precious. I like the fact that he's like, hello, little children, here's some information, basic information on Pokemon. And all the little kids are like, yeah, Professor Oak, yeah.
And all these strangers come in. They're like, hi, Professor Oak, it's me, Ash.
Okay, Was it just me, or was I thinking, like, here's all these little kids who don't know who Ash is, and they're just thinking, like, oh, Professor Oak is so great, whatever. And then here comes Ash and gang getting the private tour, by the way, of this school. And they just completely walk up to the front of the class, interrupt, and they're like, hi, Professor, old friend, slash my stepdad, hello. I was like, Ash, you're interrupting. Oh, my God, stop.
Ash doesn't give a shit.
No, he doesn't.
What's interesting is Max has not had a video chat with Professor Oak as of yet. I guess because they've been stuck in the fucking woods for an eternity. And so this is Max's first interaction with Professor Oak. And he's like, oh my God, Professor Oak. He's like, I've seen all your shows and your radio shows and all your lectures. And I read all your papers and all this stuff. It was kind of cute.
And Oak is just like, that's wonderful. Bye now.
Yeah, Oak like basically hangs up on him.
Okay, did you clock his, like, little bit of disappointed expression after that happened? Like, Max?
Oh, Max had a disappointed expression?
Like, he runs up and he's, like, completely fangirling out over Professor Oak, which I thought was adorable. And Max is just a little kid. But Professor Oak is just sort of like, well, that's great. Keep up the good work. Bye. And then, like, hangs up.
He had to have had another meeting scheduled, right?
Okay, here's my take on it, though. And I'm just saying this completely because Ash is our boy. These twerps are like the main people, and of course we know that Ash is the chosen one, so knowing Ash means that you get like privileges you wouldn't normally get. So I'm like, if you're gonna hang around with Ash and put yourself into peril at any given moment, you should have a perk, right? And then I guess Max's should be like being buddy buddy with Professor Oak, but he didn't even get that. Like, I thought that he would maybe get some kind of special attention from Oak by virtue of like knowing Ash. But Oak just treated Max just like any other random, adoring kid.
Well, that's what's ironic is that Max should know about Professor Oak's connection to Ash. And he should know. I mean, I guess he doesn't know what we know. That's a good point. But he will discover that Professor Oak's going to be there quite a bit. Like he's going to have plenty of chances to talk to him. This is not a rare occurrence.
Just be patient.
Yeah, but I guess he doesn't know that yet.
No.
I don't know if Ash and Brock have informed him. Oh, by the way, we talk to Professor Oak every day.
By the way, he's practically my stepdad, and he's always at my mom's house, and we talk to him all the time.
We have saved the world together multiple times at this point, so.
You know what? I guess Heavy is the head that wears the crown of fame, because, like, Oak is just sort of like, another day, another adoring fan, whatever, bye, like.
Yeah, I think he had something, I think he was up to something. I think, like.
He had to go write a haiku or something, I don't know.
Possibly. Write his, like, name on Delia's vagina with his tongue, I don't know.
Woo, that got spicy, okay.
Whew, all right.
Is it hot in here or what?
Anyway, all that very much aside, because it's a little kids episode, Roxanne continues giving the twerp special privileges. She's like, hey, why doesn't Max come back tomorrow and audit the class for a day? And they're like, that sounds great. And so Tommy, this little school bully, is like, you suck, Max. I bet you don't even know all these very simple questions about type matchups and such. And Max easily is like, okay, I know the answer to that. Thank you. Meanwhile, Team Rocket wants to attack the school and steal all the Pokeballs. Of course, whatever. That night, Ash and Pikachu are still doing some Iron Tail training.
They're getting better.
But the next day, Max is auditing the class, and the three older kids are watching him through a spooky window.
Wait, when was the window thing?
There's like a giant window in the hallway. So if you're in the hallway, you can see the class.
Oh, right. The weird, like, voyeur windows. Sure.
So I guess Ash and Brock are going to stand there and stare at the children all day. But May sneaks off, because she is going to audit the Pokemon contest class. No one told her she could do this, but she's going to do it anyway.
Maybe they have special privileges just because it's Ash, and they somehow have gotten in with Roxanne, and they're like, yeah, just go around and do whatever. But it seems like you can just, there's an open door policy that anybody can just sort of shadow a class and leave at any time, even if you're not, like, paying for this.
I never understood how auditing classes works. I never got it. It always confused me.
Huh. Either way, she's just, like, in the middle of this. Not really participating, because they're in, like, full, like, exam mode or something. And she's like, nah, bye.
I don't want to take a test. Goodbye.
Yeah. She got out when the going got tough, which I was like, May, that's not really, like, boding well for you, but okay, whatever.
Back in the children's class, we learned more about Anita. She says that she does not give a shit about Pokemon. She doesn't want to be in this stupid class. But she's here anyway. And little Kenny is afraid of Pokemon. He has nothing to do with this. But their parents are like, it's better to learn now.
I just want to interject real quick and say, I thought actually, maybe I'm making more out of this than what it needs to be. But I thought this was really interesting. The slice of life, so to speak, about regular everyday people and how they interact with Pokemon and how they have their kids interact with Pokemon. I'm not sure how much it costs to send your child to this academy. I'm going to assume not very much, or at least there's like subsidies or something you can have. But I just think it's interesting that like most parents' like prevailing sentiment is like, we live in a world with Pokemon, so you have to be comfortable around them. And here's like some early exposure stuff, and you're going to be a trainer, or you're going to be an XYZ person that interacts with Pokemon on a daily basis. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting to have insight into what do the normal everyday people do if they're not like an Ash and they're not like training and going around with Pokemon. Like, how do you interact with Pokemon as like a regular person?
I want to know, where are these kids going to learn about like basic math and like right? learning language, like how to write and read and things like that. Maybe I'm silly.
I would have to assume that there's normal academic
school. Yeah, is this like after school program? Is that what this is?
Is this like a summer program? Or
maybe.
But then again, this is a world where kids at 10 are considered to be big enough and independent enough to go out and travel. So their education ends at 10. I think we've discussed this before, where the Ashes and the Garys of the world are kind of special. Most kids just kind of go on a sabbatical for like a year or two and then feel like, okay, I've done the training thing. I've gotten my fill of that. And then they go back to regular school, maybe. I don't know.
Or you could be like Ash and Journey for 25 years and not age a day.
Yeah.
But also not know what long division is.
He's the exception, not the rule, I guess.
So Roxanne's true motivation is revealed when she has decided that Ash and Brock are going to be her guest lecturers for the day. Because she introduces them saying Ash is a Pokemon League competitor and he got in the top 8 of the Johto conference. Isn't that impressive? And Brock is a former gym leader from the Pewter City Gym in the Kanto region. And Brock looks at Roxanne and says, how did you know that?
What?
And Roxanne says, because everyone knows about Pewter Gym. It's like the most best rock gym in the world.
The rock slash water gym.
Well, I guess that's why Brock had to defend the gym so passionately. Because Pewter Gym's reputation precedes it. And we can't have Lola fucking that up.
Didn't Roxanne make a comment where she said Pewter Gym is the flagship for all other rock-type gyms?
Yeah, it's the best one in the world.
Wow. Okay, sure.
Good to know.
It's so weird even to me after all this time that there seems to still be the implication that they're not some kind of, like, gym leader database or some kind of official registry where it's like, yeah, you're the gym leader. I'm the gym leader. We know who the other gym leaders are. Like, this isn't a secret. It's so weird.
They don't have, like, a Facebook group or something.
Right. Whatever. Okay, sure.
Now we go outside for some practice training. And it's Tommy versus Max in a little battle. Poliwag joins the legions of Pokemon that Max could have owned. So yeah. He's going to use it as a rental Pokemon for the day. Tommy gets a little Magby and starts laying on the flamethrowers, and Max is like, I'm going to do a bunch of defense curls, which doesn't make sense because defense curl would not raise special defense, right?
No, it would not.
So that was actually bad strategy.
Yeah, and at this point, there's the division, right? We have a division between fire type.
All fire type attacks are special moves at this point.
Okay. So no, actually, it wouldn't do anything.
And then Max decides to use Belly Drum, which halves the HP, right?
Yes.
So Max is being very naive. He's taking full front attacks. The only thing keeping Poliwag alive is the fact that it's a water type and has fire resistance.
Yeah, this is where him being too overconfident in his supposed, like, knowledge. Like, he's very technical, and it's like, yeah, on a technical level, sure, you're doing the defensive thing, which, again, I'm operating off of anime logic, which we'll see a lot of next episode. But he's putting the technical definition of defense over the actual real life strategy, practical aspect of a battle.
I wanted to see Max get his ass handed to him, to be honest with you. I was like, let's yes. teach him a lesson here.
I think he needed it.
Yeah, that does not happen because Team Rocket interrupts in their giant Wurmple bot.
Wurmple bot.
I don't know why we're attacking a school after we already stole the Pokeballs, but that's what Team Rocket's doing today.
Hey, Austin.
Yeah?
Would you love me if I was a giant Wurmple bot?
I would absolutely not. So, of course, Pikachu and Fortress are sent out versus the giant Wurmple bot, but are generally ineffective. May sends out her Wurmple, so Jessie sends out her Wurmple.
Wurmple versus Wurmple.
Except not really, because Jessie realizes, oh, her Wurmple is too cute for battling. Oh, isn't it so precious? And she has to recall it back to its ball.
Oh.
Love that. So, oddly enough, it's the little kids, specifically the boys, because Anita's worthless, who end up fighting Team Rocket. And Roxanne's like, let's just let the small children handle this. It's not like there are dangerous criminals and a giant mecha attacking the school. The kids got this. They'll learn cooperation through this endeavor. Roxanne's a very go-with-the-flow pedagogy-style teacher. She's like, yeah. Oh, this isn't the lesson plan, but, you know, let's roll with it. Let's see what happens.
Or maybe she's just such a good judge of talent and character that she's like, oh, Team Rocket is a bunch of, like, nothing, no threat. Just go ahead. If these little kids can't beat them, then, you know, whatever, but they're good enough.
Well, the little kids actually come up with a kind of cool strategy. They attack Team Rocket directly, and Team Rocket hides behind a door thing. But unbeknownst to them, the entire time the little Magby is heating up the Wurmple bot from below, unseen, and it heats up the bot so much that it's like completely on fire, and Team Rocket is dancing around because they're gonna die. And Roxanne steps in, and she's like, okay, now it's my turn. And she blasts them off with her Geodude's rollout. And that's basically it.
Who is more of the psychopath? Is it Tommy for being like an arsonist, cooking somebody to death with a fire flamethrower attack? Or is it Roxanne, the adult in the room, who allows this child to nearly murder three other people? Who is more unhinged? I don't know.
I don't know. This is an insane scenario.
This is an insane scenario.
It's not. Anything I can apply real-world morality to.
Literally, they're all just standing there watching Tommy cook Team Rocket alive. And Roxanne and Ash and Brock and May and Max and everybody else are just standing there like, yes, this is normal.
I like how you're making it out to be like Team Rocket's not attacking children.
Okay, Josh made a good point, and maybe they deserve it in the sense of not being cooked alive, but just to be defeated, I guess. Because Josh was watching this with me, and he asked me, he like looked over and he's like, so they stole the Pokeballs, why didn't they just leave?
That's what I said. There's no reason for them to even have a Wurmple bot in the first place, and they're not doing anything. They're just making a presentation of themselves. But we know the real reason for that is because Team Rocket are artistes, and they have to do a show for no, like, they're not there to actually steal anything. They're there to have a performance. Getting blasted off is part of the routine. Like, that's all they know.
They live for the spotlight. I know. It's funny, though.
And if they did get away with the Pokeballs, you know what they would do? They would go to a log cabin somewhere, and there would be a hole in the bag that they kept the Pokeballs in, and it would leave a trail for the twerps to follow.
Okay, fair enough.
It's all according to design.
All according to Keikaku.
Yes, all right. That's the end of the episode. It's not very conclusive. MVP, LVP, and quote.
Oh, gosh. But
Alex is going first.
This is a tough one because they really didn't have a whole lot of good quotes. But this is my only quote, so I'll start with that. And it's not really even a fun one, so I apologize in advance. But this is at the very end when Roxanne uses her Geodude, and I guess Brock is having some nostalgia for Geodude. And he says, your Geodude is a really awesome Pokemon, Roxanne. Being somewhat of an expert on rock types, let me say I'm impressed.
You just like when he's a gym leader.
I do. And also, it's ironic because he literally does not have any rock-type Pokemon with him at the moment, so.
No, he does not.
Okay, my MVP, I guess I'm going to give it to Professor Oak.
Okay.
I don't know, for zooming into classes and teaching and being ridiculous as he always is. And, you know, we just gotta love Professor Oak.
You've really turned a corner on Professor Oak. You used to be like, oh, I'm the number one Professor Oak hater.
You know what? I have a love-hate relationship with Oak.
Oh, okay.
He's the OG, though. You can't hate him. Even though I just said I have a love-hate relationship with him. Anyway, my LVP is going to be maybe just the obvious Tommy, the little bully kid.
Yeah, I have no tolerance for little kid bullies.
Yeah, we didn't talk about the one shitty move he pulled where he was trying to stir up some crap by abusing an animal to get back at Max.
He steps on Poliwag's tail.
He pretends to fall. He's like, whoa, and like steps forward and smashes Poliwag's tail so that it will shoot out and hit Kenny, the other kid. But Max heroically steps in and pushes him out of the way, you know.
Yeah, you know that's going on every day. Tommy's always picking on Kenny because he's bored.
Yeah, I think there needs to be more oversight. I guess that's the obvious.
Shout out to Kenny, by the way, because at one point, Kenny, like, randomly speaks up and looks at Max and is like, Max, you were going to lose that battle to Tommy, by the way, because you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, they kind of glossed over that at the end. And I, like you said before, I really wish that they had driven the point home to Max that his strategy, quote unquote, if you even really want to call it that, was shit. And I feel like he just sort of got interrupted before he could really learn that lesson.
Was Kenny the one who came up with the boil them alive strategy?
You know, I can't really remember, but...
Okay, whatever. The episode ended rather abruptly, so...
It did. But shout out, yeah, shout out to him for saying, like, he was strategizing at the end, and he was like, Max, yeah, you sucked, and you gotta learn some other stuff. He's like, you should use water gun, and, like, the only way you're gonna win a battle is to use an offensive move. You can't just defend.
Shout out to Kenny for that.
Yep.
But my MVP is gonna be May. Because she had the gall to just be like, I'm going to be in this class now and no one can tell me otherwise.
Yeah.
She literally waltzes in, gets a desk, is there for a little while. The teacher says, pop quiz. And May's like, I'm out. And she just walks out the door. The audacity. I loved it.
I mean, to be fair, she wasn't an actual attendee of the class. And I guess she wasn't prepared for the test. So.
Right. And like, what's she going to do? Hand in a piece of paper with her name on it? For the teacher to be like, who's May?
Right, you're not on my roll call list.
So my LVP, gosh, I don't even know. Who should I give it to?
Lotad.
No, I like Lotad.
Oh, wait, you said LVP, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Gosh, who should get it? Okay, this should have been my answer, but I'll just suggest you should give it to Brock, May, and Max for being embarrassed about Ash and treating him like crap at the beginning.
That is a good point. I'm going to give it specifically to Brock for saying, I've never been so embarrassed in my life. Like, Brock, you are older than Ash. You have 9 younger siblings. Calm the fuck down. I'm going to give it to Brock.
Ah, okay. Okay, okay.
He should know better.
Can I change my MVP? I want to change my MVP now.
Who was it?
To Ash.
Oh!
I know. Okay, so this is a rare one for me because I really feel like I never give it to Ash, but... I think for that one moment at the beginning, obviously, where he was so cute and he was so enthusiastic with all his merchandise and souvenirs and stuff, I think it was precious.
All right, that's the end of that one. It was pretty boring.
We're in Rustboro, though, which, finally, we're out of the woods.
Progress. Out of the woods, thank God. Oh. Now it's time for the winner by a nose pass.
Oh my God, you guys, it's happening. Our first Hoenn gym battle. Not counting Norman and all that stuff, but anyway. All right, Austin, are you ready?
Yes.
In 3, 2, 1, go.
The fairly interesting storyline of May not wanting to be a Pokemon trainer pretty much ends here without any conflict whatsoever, because she just says, I want to do contests. And everyone's like, okay, great. Good for you, May. And Ash is now battling Roxanne for the Stone Badge, and I would say he doesn't do a very great job, but he does win in the end. And Pikachu masters Iron Tail, or doesn't master Iron Tail. I can't even remember what happened with that. But regardless, Ash wins a gym badge.
Time. I don't know. I kind of liked this one.
Okay.
And honestly, yes, there were times where some of his battling strategy was in question, but in a surprise twist, it was all according to Kikaku. It was all a part of Ash's master plan, even though he seemed amateurish.
They did that multiple times. Ash seemed like he made a mistake. And then Ash says, No, I didn't. 4D chess.
Psych. Yeah, no. He's out here with his big brain time, completely just five steps ahead of everyone. I thought that exact thing. I was frustrated with Ash for several points during this, but then it turns out, surprise, Ash isn't as much of a dummy as he portrayed himself to be. Even though I think you're right in that there was a few moments where Ash seemed like he was surprised himself by how well something worked, and it just so happened to play out great. But anyway.
I mean, Ash's whole thing is he doesn't overthink. He just goes by instinct, and, like, whatever happens, happens.
Well, it worked out, and, you know, destiny dictates that Ash win, so anyway. All right, so we are still practicing Iron Tail, and Ash currently is being a menace to all the local landscapers in town because he's destroying all of the boulders around the Pokemon Center. I guess they're staying at the Pokemon Center. I'm not really sure. They're having, like, a little brunch, and he's just training while they sit there. But unfortunately for Ash, Pikachu is having some trouble getting it up. He cannot maintain his Iron Tail.
There's no shame in taking those pills, Pikachu.
I know.
Iron pills.
Iron pills. Talk to your doctor. They're discussing Ash's strategy for the upcoming battle, and this is where they start to question Mei on her strategy, because of course, there is no other path but to be a trainer, and of course, Mei is going to battle, duh. But, like Austin mentioned in the summary, she finally admits to herself and the others that she's never really wanted to be a trainer, and it was all just a big excuse to travel. But now she's discovered coordinating, and that's what her true calling is. And so, at first, Brock and Ash seem like they're taken aback by this, but ultimately, they seem to relax, and they're like, okay, if that's what your dream is, we'll support you in any way that we can, which I thought was really sweet.
Have they not been paying any attention to her at all?
She's the girl, of course not.
Okay, they don't give a shit about her.
But Max is kind of, like, upset by this, because he's like, what? No, you have to be a trainer, whatever, like, but I guess he'll come around to it, too. So Team Rocket's also back. They're consulting their local guidebook and discover that Roxanne is the Rustboro gym leader. And so they are trying to come up with a plan to steal her Pokemon, I guess. But James is incredulous about this idea because apparently that's really never been done successfully, at least not by them. Stealing a gym leader's Pokemon anyway. Ash and friends arrive at the Rustboro gym for Ash's first battle. Very exciting. And as a teacher, Roxanne is like, you know, is it cool, like, if we tape this battle to use for, like, future training material for class?
And Ash is like, oh yeah, let them view my genius.
I know, he's super on board with this. He's like, yeah, archive this shit for the ages. Like, this will be the best battle ever.
He's also used to being televised at this point, so.
He's practically a celebrity himself, so he's fine with it. Max is excited to witness his first ever gym battle. And this kind of surprised me a little bit, because Brock kind of questions this. He's like, what? You've never seen a battle before? That's weird. And Max explains that apparently Norman, up to this point, has forbidden Max and Mei from spectating on any of his battles.
Is this new information?
Is it?
I don't know. It seemed familiar to me, but maybe I just remembered that.
If they mentioned it before, I forgot. But I always thought it was a little strict. I mean, Norman's excuse, I guess, or explanation was that it would distract trainers.
I think that makes sense, because Mei and Max are a lot.
Okay, fair.
They tend to throw themselves into situations, so.
Maybe they just weren't really good about, like, sitting quietly and just observing. Maybe they lost their privileges because they were too loud and obnoxious in the stands, like, heckling. I don't know.
Max would definitely heckle.
Maybe Max was being annoying and being like, you should do this, blah, defense curl, blah. I don't know.
All right, that was a bad move.
Okay.
Use belly drum.
I take it back. Maybe Norman had a good reason for being like, the fuck you are sitting in on these battles. Go away. Like, anyway, so we're in the match now. It's finally happening. It's an elimination match. Two Pokemon each. And of course, Roxanne starts with the Pokemon that we saw yesterday. And that's a Geodude. Oh, wow. Thrilling.
Never seen a Geodude before.
Never. All these new Hoenn Pokemon, and we've got a Geodude in the house. So Ash is going to do the obvious, I suppose. At least you would think it'd be obvious. He starts with Treecko. But according to Brock, surprise, there's at least one small issue with this strategy. And it's the fact that Treecko does not know how to use any grass type moves at the moment.
we have been focusing on Iron Tail this whole time, and Trico doesn't know any Grass-type moves.
Oh, this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Although, I think this was early on. Recently, when you get a starter, they know an elemental move, like, right off the bat. Like, Absorb or Vine Whip or whatever. I don't think in the early game they did.
No, they did not. But this is the wild Trico. This is not a starter Trico.
So it could know anything. Yeah, like Brock's wild card, low tad with Water Gun.
Yep.
So at this point, what does Trico know? He knows Pound
and... Is it Pound and Quick Attack? Is that it?
Quick Attack? Is that it?
I think that's it.
Okay. Well, that's really sad.
I think it was time to focus on Trico a little bit, Ash. I think maybe we need to prioritize that over anything else.
Well, you know Ash, and his focus is Pikachu all the time, so... Poor Trico is off training by himself at this point.
What's funny is I remember Trico learning a Grass-type move, and it's not going to be for, like, a while.
God, Pound and Quick Attack being the only things it knows is, like, weak.
For a while. And we think of Trico as such a badass, and here it is.
I guess maybe we just sort of forgot that it really was kind of pathetic at the beginning, but it has to get there. We have to have an arc. Anyway, Ash, who is ever the goober, decides to go head-to-head with a straight-up physical attack. And this is where you start to think, like, what the hell, Ash? Like, you should know better. And Roxanne even comments how naive of a move that was. You can't go head-to-head with a defensive Pokemon like Geodude with just a straight-up Pound or Quick Attack or whatever. And Max is also surprised that Ash is fucking up already. But Ash pulls a classic Ash and allows Geodude to use the force of the Mega Punch it gives right in the kisser to Trico to force him up into the air. So that way, Trico has enough velocity on the way back down to pack a wallop in his Pound attack.
I thought for sure they were going to do that spinning tail technique Trico mastered at the waterfall. Why did that not come into play? That was weird.
I know, that's where I thought it was going, because at first Ash was like, oh man, that was a bad move on my part, which I was like, damn Ash, that was a real blunder that you just did here, but he didn't do the twisty move.
That's like the one thing Trico has going for it.
Well, I don't know, maybe they kind of forgot, but anyway, they kind of do mention it, because they're like, oh yeah, Ash's whole strategy the whole time was to use the speed of the attack and falling to get more power out of it. Okay, great.
Okay, if only he had practiced jumping off a waterfall for hours, if only that had come into play. Oh, well.
Well, we know the anime works a little different, so it may not make sense, but it makes sense to them, I suppose. But unfortunately, Trico gets knocked out after it takes another rollout and Mega Punch combo and then faints. So, yikes, it's all up to Pikachu, who's next. Shout out to that rando guy in the back saying, Pikachu!
I noticed that.
When he comes out. Oh my god. I know we probably want to just touch on this because I think of you now when this comes up. Mm-hmm. Once again, they emphasize the danger that electric type Pokemon are in when they go up against rock types, which...
They say that maybe 500 times in this episode?
Maybe 501 times. It's not a thing. Although, Geodude being a part ground type, okay, maybe you can make the argument with that.
That's the real problem here, is Geodude's a ground type, but we don't seem to realize that, do we?
But they don't mention that. They just exclusively say, like, rock type Pokemon. And I'm like, okay, but you should really be saying because of its part ground typing, whatever. Technically, I guess, as a result, Geodude is immune to an electric type move.
Except for when it's not.
Except for when it's not, which we will see in a second. Ash does something else that's cool, unbeknownst to us, though, because at first it seems, again, he's making another huge mistake. He has Pikachu flatten the battlefield with a thunder attack. So right now it has a bunch of boulders all over it, but then he uses thunder, which crumbles all the boulders, so now it's pretty flat.
The return of thunder going through the ground, too.
I know. That was interesting. I guess it differentiates it from Thunderbolt. Meanwhile, James is outlining his fiscally responsible plan to simply tunnel under the gym and grab Pikachu and escape because they don't need to go into debt again buying another insanely expensive Wurmple bot that does not accomplish anything. Back in the gym, unfortunately for Ash, the strategy backfired, at least according to Roxanne, because she does not know the 4D chess that Ash is playing. So right now to her, she's like, you done goofed, son, and gave Geodude more room to use rock throw and punch and stuff like that. But we see what the real end goal was when his plan pays off, because Geodude tries to use rollout, but he's basically made the battlefield like a huge gravel pit.
Is that what was causing that? Okay.
He had no traction. So, like, think about when you're driving a car and there's a bunch of loose gravel on the road. What's it going to do? What's your tire going to do when it tries to gain traction? Spin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing happens.
Okay. They didn't animate that efficiently because I didn't quite understand what was going on.
Well, when I was watching this one with Josh, too, he said Brock's explanation was kind of a roundabout way to say that, but, like, that was what they were getting at.
Okay.
He has no traction to roll.
I wish they'd shown that.
I mean, he kind of just spins in place for a bit, which I was like, okay, sure. But yeah, that's the whole strategy, which is great. Ash really does know what he's doing. And we have a little flub here because when Pikachu thunders Geodude, it actually works and knocks him out.
Whoops.
Which should not be possible, but it's possible. So next up is a new Pokemon that we haven't seen before.
And hopefully never seen again.
Yeah, it's not a favorite, but it's Roxanne's ace, and that is Nosepass. I'm not a fan of Nosepass.
No.
I'm really not.
Nosepass is cooler in theory than in practice, because the idea of it being a compass and an Easter Island head statue, like, that's kind of neat. But,
I mean,
the execution is lacking, I thought.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I guess it's easy to say, like, oh, it could have been designed better. I guess you're right in the fact that the theme is there, I guess. But, like, design-wise, they could, I don't know.
It's not very aesthetically pleasing.
No, it's not. And God, do not get me started on Probopass. Ugh.
At least Probopass is funny.
I guess, but... Ugh, anyway.
Its mustache is iron filaments. That's funny.
I guess the magnet. I guess, it, like, attracts the... What is that, that game... Isn't there, like, a game with the iron filaments
Harry?
And, like, Harry, what is it called?
Like, Harry, is it Harry?
Is it Harry? Is that it?
Yeah, it is Harry.
Oh, my God.
Woolly Willy. Ew,
thank
that sounds
you.
Like X-rated, gross.
A Woolly Willy.
Ew.
Anyway, Woolly Willy is, like, a game where it's, like, a face, and you can, like, drag the iron shavings around and, like, give him different haircuts and different mustaches and stuff. Kind of reminds me of that, but anyway. Nosepass is a Pokemon.
Nosepass does not have a mustache.
It does not have a mustache, but it has a big nose. Anyway, Pikachu is pretty pooped at this point, but does manage to pull off an Iron Tail as a first move. Perfect. We might have this in the bag. I don't know. But Pikachu's kind of a little bit outmatched after it uses Sandstorm, Nosepass. And we learn that it's got a big electromagnet in its nose to see where Pikachu is. And it doesn't help that Pikachu is an electric type, which fucking whoops. And nearly stomps Pikachu to death, which kind of scary, actually.
Yeah, but then it totally fucks it up by raising its foot again to stomp on it.
Yeah, Pikachu manages to dodge, thankfully. But Roxanne has taught Nosepass some interesting moves. It actually knows a couple of electric type moves. And it just about takes out Pikachu with Thunder Wave. But just as this moment, as it's using Thunder Wave... James's shovel, because remember, they're tunneling under the gym, pokes out of the battlefield and acts like a lightning rod and basically draws the electricity to that and blasts Team Rocket off again. Whoopsie.
Unnoticed by everyone.
In the haze of the sandstorm and all that. They didn't even realize what happened.
Isn't Thunder Wave just a paralyzing move?
Yes, but this one did not look like just a paralyzing move. Honestly, I feel like they should probably have just said it was a Zap Cannon, because it also does know Zap Cannon, which had the exact same animation, if I'm not mistaken, as Thunder Wave, whatever.
Was this a 4Kids dub mix-up?
Maybe. I don't know. Regardless, Roxanne actually instructs Nosepass to use Zap Cannon, but Ash has Pikachu absorb the Zap Cannon, which ballsy move, and slam into Nosepass, which... kind of transfers the paralysis effect.
Okay. Was this Pikachu's static ability?
Good question.
Is that what that was?
It had to be, right?
Right, because Pikachu attacked the thing and it was paralyzed.
But see, I thought, okay, the way the static works in the game is a Pokemon has to be attacked to impart.
Did Pikachu quick attack?
I don't know if Pikachu quick attacked, but I know Pikachu was on the offensive.
Right.
Which is not how static works, but then again,
oh, it has anime. To be assaulted.
It has to be assaulted. Yeah.
Be attacked.
It has to be physically touched by okay. another Pokemon's physical attacking move to impart the static effect.
Okay, okay.
But Pikachu is the one that slammed into Nosepass and imparted the static effect. I mean, Geodude got knocked out by a thunder attack, so logic. Anyway, that paralyzes Nosepass long enough for Pikachu to hit it with a successful Iron Tail, which KOs Nosepass. And with that, Ash earns his first Hoenn badge, the Stone Badge.
Yep.
The end.
Pretty anticlimactic ends with these episodes, but whatever.
I don't know. I kind of liked the battle. It wasn't the worst battle.
Well, you can tell me who your MVP and LVP in quote. Whoa. As I throw a coin across the table. 1 second. You're going first.
Okay. My MVP is going to be... You know what? I'm going to do something unprecedented.
What's that?
I'm going to give it to Ash. Again.
You just gave it to Ash.
I know. Two Ashes in a row. Can you believe this? Holy crap. I thought the way Ash battled was good.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know. You might think differently. And honestly, maybe he did get lucky and like play it off as, yeah, this was part of my strategy the whole time. But honestly, it worked. It worked, and I thought Ash did a good job. And I really hope in terms of like, and we've seen this before. I mean, Ash's whole thing is getting lucky and using his environment and all that stuff. But I really hope they like start to lean into that because it really seems like Ash is like realizing that himself
mm-hmm.
and leaning into it.
Like, that's the first thing he does. He's like, I'm going to change the battlefield as soon as I'm out there.
I know.
He changes the conditions of what's going on. He sets things up.
Yeah, I like it. I think he did a good job. It was entertaining.
I will critique Ash. Sorry to piggyback off your MVP. The one time he did something that didn't end up evolving into something to his advantage was after we already established Nosepass as a compass and knows where Pikachu is in the sandstorm, even though Pikachu is exhausted visibly,
right?
He has Pikachu run in circles around Nosepass to confuse it and get it dizzy. Oh, I'm like, that's... That should have happened before it was established Nosepass as a compass. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But it worked out.
That's a good point. I don't necessarily think that you could confuse a compass like that, but sure. It worked for what it was. And you got to kind of go by anime logic a little bit. So overall, a decent showing. My LVP is going to be... Who should I give it to, Austin?
Ooh, don't give it to mine.
I don't know who to say. I'm going back through. I don't know. Oh. You know what? I'm just going to give it to Nosepass. I'm sorry.
Because it's ugly.
Not helping me.
No, because I want to protect my LVP because it's a good one.
Damn. Okay. Yeah, it's ugly. I'm sorry. Just aesthetically, like, I'm sorry to any Nosepass fans out there, but it's just not a favorite. I'm going to be vain and shallow for that. My quote is, I guess at the end... Or Ash is kind of like saying, you know, you were underestimating us when she's surprised.
Darn it.
Pikachu was still standing. Oh, sorry.
Go for it.
I liked this quote from Ash. I thought it was kind of a BAMF moment. Ash says, Roxanne, the tougher the battle, that just means the harder we fight. We're just getting warmed up. And May says, wonder where he gets all that confidence. And Brock, totally undeservingly, I feel like, says, especially when he has nothing to base it on.
Yeah, what is with Brock being rude to Ash lately?
I know, Brock is like tearing him down and like negging him recently. I'm like, didn't he say something else similar in like another episode recently?
Ash was like, I can't wait for my battle. And Brock was like, don't you think you're going to lose like you always do, you pathetic loser?
Yeah. What the fuck?
Something to that effect.
Okay, maybe Brock gets honorary. I don't know who your LVP is, so I'm not going to change it officially, but like I think Brock gets honorary LVP for that shit.
Okay. All right. My quote, this is the only one I had other than that. And I just thought it was indicative of this entire episode. Max saying, I never thought I'd see an electric Pokemon ever be able to defeat a rock Pokemon.
He said that?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed it.
This is before Roxanne was like, no. Electric hype has ever defeated me or whatever. It was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Okay, sure.
My MVP, I'm tempted to give it to Pikachu.
Yeah.
I might give it to James, though. I'm going to give it to James because he took charge of Team Rocket for this episode, and he very rarely does that. Obviously, it didn't go anywhere, but he was thinking, let's not order a robot today because we have no money ever, and that's some wise thoughts. So I appreciate his inexplicable confidence in leading the team for one episode. My LVP is going to be Trico.
Oh.
For that poor showing against Geodude, that was bad.
In Trico's defense, you're only as good as your trainer, and true. Ash hasn't been spending time with it, so.
True, but I don't know, Trico's kind of tricked me. I thought he was a cool little badass little lizard, and he can't do shit, can he?
But we're gonna love Trico eventually.
We better.
So, or I don't know, maybe.
Maybe we're not going to, I don't know.
Maybe we are misremembering the progression here, but I do know that we end up loving Grovyle and Sceptile, so I'm not really sure. Maybe we just have to get there. I don't know.
I know. Ugh. Trico is really disappointing me so far.
Well, maybe now that we have the whole Iron Tail thing kind of settled, we can focus on Talo and Trico. I don't know.
I remember when Trico learned a new move, and it's not going to be for a while.
Okay.
All right, that's it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that was fun. I kind of, just overall, I thought they were a decent pair of episodes. I mean, the first one, maybe not so much, whatever. But the second one was okay. Finally, a gym battle.
I wish the May stuff had been a bit more dramatic.
I know you say that, but honestly, how dramatic do you want it to be? I mean,
I don't know. Some sort of something.
I mean, I'm glad that we can finally stop beating around the bush with her goal. Honestly, I kind of was getting a little annoyed about the fact that they were annoyed about her choices. I'm like, it's not you. What does it have anything to do with you whether or not she goes into a gym battle or not? Like, at least we were finally out of the way of that.
It was actually pretty realistic, I thought, in the way that she was just like, I don't want to do this. And then she found out more about it. She's like, oh, okay. And then she figured out something she really wanted to do. And she's like, ooh, that. I want to do that.
Yeah.
So that felt like a natural progression.
Yeah, I liked it, too. I'm glad that we have kind of cemented that, though.
Yeah, we can move forward.
Yeah, like we're not focusing on them badgering her about, you know, what are you doing to prepare for your battle and your trainer journey and stuff like that. And she's like, eh.
Yeah, it required everyone to be pretty dumb because, like, she clearly had no interest whatsoever.
I guess, to be fair, we're talking about a bunch of young boys who really are singular-minded in the fact that it's like, well, surely you have to like the same things I like, and if you don't like battling, what else is there? So I guess that tracks with Ash just being the way he is, but like, and Max, of course.
I'm kind of surprised Ash didn't turn over and be like, Misty, what happened to your suspenders and your side pony? Just kidding.
No, I'm glad they're giving May her own thing. Really distinct from Ash, not just like, oh, I want to be like a water Pokemon specialist. Okay, no, and no shade to Misty. Okay, no shade to Misty at all. I love Misty, but I'm glad May gets her own separate thing, totally unique from battling. Contests are fun.
Are we ready for next week's episodes?
What are next week's episodes?
We're still in Respero City. Stairway to Devon.
Oh.
And On a Wingle and a Prayer.
Okay, I kind of love those titles.
They're pretty good.
Honestly, for a second, I was like, we're still in Rustboro City. What can we possibly have left to do in Rustboro City?
There's plenty left to do.
Sure. Okay. I guess we'll meet some folks next time. And
we will.
Because we're the chosen ones. We have to meet the CEO, I suppose. I don't know.
Of course.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us this week. We hope you enjoyed those episodes as well. If you want to get in touch with us and leave us some comments like our friends have left us early on in this episode, please do that. You can reach out to us at our Gmail account, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or you can follow us over on our Blue Sky account. Austin always posts some fun stuff over there, so give it a look. We also have our Instagram. Follow us over there too. Same handle, Out of the Drying Pan. We also have a Patreon. If you want to support us.
Like Carl,
yes. And take advantage of all of our fun bonus content and check out our Pokemon Channel Twitch stream. Check out our Patreon. We would really appreciate it. And as always, we want to say thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you next week as the journey continues.